Welcome to Truth for Today. We continue our second series on the Psalms with a message by Jeffrey Brett on Psalm 48. The message is presented by Peter Luchford.
In recent weeks and months, the eyes of the world have been on Israel and its conflict with the Palestinians, with consequent fighting in Jerusalem and elsewhere. This psalm is a celebration of the future reign of the King in Zion, the city of God, at last delivered from every enemy and established as the centre of government for the whole earth. The city of Zion, in the scriptures, is Jerusalem, not as now the city of trouble and fighting, but as it will be, through the grace of God and his mercy. This will be the centre for the administration of God's blessing on the earth, during the 1,000 years reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must remember, when we read the Psalms, that the title is part of the psalm and should always be read. This will help us to understand the psalm. This psalm is a song and psalm for the sons of Korah. In the days of David, this family had a privileged place in the service of the tabernacle. Because of this, they are frequently mentioned in the Psalms. We believe they were the singers in the tabernacle services. This is remarkable, because they had a very bad beginning in the days of Moses. We read about this in Numbers chapter 16, where Korah and 250 other princes rose up and rebelled against the authority that God had given to Moses. In so doing, they were really rebelling against God. The judgment that fell upon them was terrible. Verse 32 describes it. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. And yet, many years later, under David the king, after he had been set upon the throne of all Israel in Zion, they came into the service of God. This can only be by the grace of God. Nothing in themselves warranted such high favour, but under grace they came into it. This is also true of every believer. We all had dreadful beginnings as having come under the power of sin. But instead of the judgment falling upon us, it fell upon the Lord Jesus, when he bore our sins upon the cross of Calvary. Because of that wonderful expression of the grace of God, we have come into a place of blessing and favour. Psalm 48 is the completion of a series of psalms, commencing with Psalm 44. In that psalm, the godly, having heard from their fathers of God's deliverance in days of old, looked to God to redeem Israel from the power of the enemy. Psalm 45 presents the Lord Jesus as the answer to their cry for help. He is the one through whom deliverance will come. Psalm 46 expresses the confidence in God gained by the actual experience of God's mercy in the present, and not simply the report of what God has done in the past. Psalm 47 celebrates the intervention of God on behalf of his people, establishing Christ as King over all the earth, exalting Israel over all the nations, and calling upon all nations to join with Israel in the praise of Jehovah. Psalm 48 presents the king established in Zion, the centre of government for the whole earth. Thus the godly say in verse 8, "As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it for ever. Selah." The name Zion in Scripture does not in any way refer to the church as we speak of it today, but refers to a time yet to come of blessing on the earth, after the church has been caught up to be with Christ in heaven. We will get confused if we do not see this. It is very often useful to see in the Bible the circumstances surrounding the first mention of a thing. The first mention of Zion is in the second Book of Samuel, chapter 5, verse 7. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. The same is the city of David. We further read in verse 10, And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. Previous to this, the nation of Israel had been brought down to a very sad state due to the evil reign of King Saul, who was the king the people had asked for. During that time, they even lost the Ark of God to the Philistines. Not once in his reign did Saul consult the Ark of God for guidance. He eventually perished at the hand of the very enemy that he had not subdued, which he could have done had he relied upon God. During his reign, he had persecuted David, who was God's anointed king. But where we have just read, the men of Israel had gathered themselves together unto David, and he had been crowned king. The first thing that David did was to lead his men against the Jebusites, who were the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They taunted David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither. Thinking, David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion. This is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. When he was on earth, he healed the blind and the lame, and although, like David, he was rejected, yet by dying he has conquered the enemy and now has the keys of death and of Hades. The next thing David did was to bring up the Ark of God to Jerusalem and set it in its rightful place, the center of Israel. Chapter 6, verse 17. And they brought in the Ark of the Lord, and set it in his place, in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as the men, to every one a cake of bread, and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, every one to his house. This is a picture of what the Lord Jesus will do when he becomes the king in Israel. He will establish the true worship of God, and then Israel will become the center from which the blessing of God will flow out to the whole earth. This is what Zion is a picture of in the Scriptures. There are 7 references to Zion in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus, in John chapter 12, verse 15, quotes a verse from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. This was when the Lord Jesus was approaching Jerusalem, and it would seem as though some thought that he was about to set up his kingdom. So they cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. The Lord Jesus did not say that they were wrong, but seems to confirm that this will indeed happen, not then, but in a future day. He finds a young ass and sits upon it, illustrating what will happen when Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 will be fulfilled. He will bring everything into subjection to himself, typified in his sitting on an ass that had not been broken in. Then he will bring salvation, which is the meaning of Hosanna, to Israel. In Romans chapter 9, the Apostle Paul laments over his fellow countrymen, not receiving the Lord Jesus, and so failing to obtain righteousness before God. The Gentiles had done, having believed the gospel that Paul preached. He refers to the Lord Jesus as a stumbling stone upon which the Jews had fallen. In verse 33, Paul quotes Isaiah, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offence, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The language makes it clear that the stumbling stone was the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to his own city as its rightful king, but was rejected and crucified. So he became a rock of offence to the Jews, but an object of faith to those who believed on him. Also in chapter 11, Paul mentioned Zion, not this time in regard of their rejection to their own Messiah, but in regard to their deliverance. When the fullness of the Gentiles is complete, which is a reference to the present state of the world which is dominated by Gentile powers, the Lord Jesus will come to save his people on earth. Verses 25 and 26 tell us, blindness in part happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews refers to Zion in chapter 12. He tells those Jews who had believed the gospel, and so apparently had lost everything in Judaism, that in a spiritual way they had come into all the blessing that the nation will come into when Christ comes as king. So he says in verse 12, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God. Those Jewish Christians would understand what Zion meant. It was the ultimate blessing of Israel. It was theirs now because they had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter refers to Zion in his first letter, which again was written to Jewish believers. He also uses the illustration of a stone, not a stumbling stone, but a living stone. He quotes Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, that very stone which the leaders of Israel called in verse 7 builders had cast away as not fitting into what they were building. The same is made the head of the corner. Whatever Israel had done in rejecting the Lord Jesus in no way hinders what God has planned. He will be the head of every corner in the world to come, and men will be blessed because of it. The believer has come into this already. There is only one reference to Zion in the Revelation. It is in chapter 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Those that had been faithful to him while the beast and the Antichrist had ravaged the nation of Israel are seen blessed by him on Mount Zion. We can see very clearly from all these New Testament references to Zion that it is a future name which will involve the coming of Christ as king to set up his kingdom on earth, where the nation of Israel will be the centre of administration, of blessing for the whole world. The fact that Israel today is in the middle of so much conflict only emphasizes the mercy and grace of God that will deliver them from every enemy after they repent and believe on him whom God sent. It will not be by strength or military power, neither the help of America or any other nation, but by the intervention of God in mercy. Psalm 48 opens with an ascription of praise to Jehovah, who has established his throne in Zion. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. There follows a description of the glory of the city. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. Holiness having been established, the city which had been desolate now becomes beautiful, the joy of the whole earth. The words, on the sides of the north, may refer to the fact that those nations that had tried to destroy Israel had come from the north, but they were defeated and destroyed themselves. That point of attack is now seen as a place of glory. God was now dwelling in the city as its defence and security. So it becomes holy, beautiful, a place of joy and a refuge for God's people. Verses 4 to 7 describe the sudden judgment by which the city had been delivered from the enemies of God's people. The confederate kings had assembled against the city. They mustered their hosts and passed by in battle array, only to find themselves confronted not simply by man, but by the mighty power of God. Astonished and dismayed, they fled, seized with sudden panic. They tremble like a woman overcome with the pain of giving birth, and dispersed like a navy in a storm. In verses 8 to 10, the godly celebrate the fact that they not only had heard of what God had done for their fathers in old days of old, but they had now experienced it themselves. Moreover, the city, now delivered, will be established for ever, not as had happened so often to Israel in the past. As we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it for ever, Selah. When they were cast out of the land, they had thought of the loving kindness of God. Now that they had been delivered from every enemy, they delight in his loving kindness in the midst of his temple. And so God is praised according to all that he is, as set forth in his name. According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness. In that day the whole world will be characterized by righteousness, not as it is now, by wickedness, greed, and every moral evil. The Lord Jesus will have dealt with every expression of Satan's power and sway in the world by the terrible judgments that we read of in the Revelation. He will deliver his people and will establish righteousness in the whole world. And so the blessing of God will flow out through Zion to the ends of the earth. We may have difficulty in believing this in the light of the policies of many nations at the moment. But the centre of government during the reign of Christ will not be Washington, London, or Moscow, or any other powerful place, but it will be Jerusalem. The whole world will come to acknowledge it, and thus will be blessed. I believe this is the clear teaching of Scripture. We will do well to remember it when we read so much of the schemes of men in the world now. The psalm closes in verses 11 to 14 with a call to Mount Zion to rejoice and to the cities of Judah to be glad. In peace, the inhabitants can contemplate the beauty of the city. They look at her bulwarks and palaces and can tell to future generations about this great deliverance for ever and ever. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. Never again will the nation turn aside to idolatry. Throughout their lives, God will be their God and their guide. For this God is our God for ever and ever, for he will be our guide even unto death. This consideration of the faithfulness of God to his unfaithful people should encourage us in our lives to trust the Lord Jesus every day. Despite the fact that often we are unfaithful and let him down, he will never go back on anything that he has promised. As Israel in a coming day will come into wonderful earthly blessing, so the believer will come into heavenly blessing. This will not be because of anything that we have done, but by the grace and faithfulness of God. Praise his name. Amen.